You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, episode 180, and a special thanks to Alex Dorman and the Hot Texas Swing Band for the theme music for the show. As you might imagine, as you have observed, I am not Jim, nor am I Bobby Jean Bell. They are in California, sunny California, for a weekend, including the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. My name is Tom Swearingen, and I am in Oregon right now, where I live. And I'm always honored when they ask me to sit in when they're not available to guest host. And I'm very, very happy to do that. One of the things that I particularly enjoy when I get an invitation to host is that it comes with my opportunity to invite the guest of my choice. I get to pick who I want to interview. And this week, I'm really proud to introduce you to Chantel Ogden. And there comes Chantel. Hey, Chantel.
Hi, Tom.
Chantel is in Nashville, Tennessee, where she lives. And everything's going to go super smooth tonight, but she just gave me a little heads up that major storm is rolling through Nashville right now, thunderstorms and whatever. So if her power goes out or the Wi-Fi goes, we're going to give it a beat and she'll reconnect if she can, and we'll make it work. So cross our fingers that the weather holds in Nashville. Yep. It's good to see you. Last time I saw you, we were in New Mexico, I believe.
Yes,
So I'm a poet and a occasional songwriter, and she is a full-time songwriter and screenwriter in Nashville. And just very interested in Chantel. She and I met many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I don't know when it was, in Portland, where I live, or the Portland area, where she was working at the time. And then tell me what happened then, Chantel. You left Portland to go to a pretty prestigious music school.
I did, yeah. I spent a little bit of time in Atlanta after I left Portland, but then I decided I wanted to study music, and so I went to Berklee College of Music in early 2000s and just really studied what made songs great and learned a lot more about music theory and song construction. And it was a great experience. And then when I finished school, I kind of thought, well, you know, it's if I want to pursue this and become a better songwriter, I need to probably move to LA, New York, or Nashville. And having grown up on a farm in a small town, I just couldn't picture myself anywhere but Nashville. Cool. So I moved here in the fall of 2005.
All right. Well, and I think it's worked out. I want to read an introduction that I kind of skipped over. I was going to read a little introduction I have for you, because your move to Nashville and wherever has really paid off. And you know, Nashville-based Chantel Ogden has a gift for crafting songs with real conviction and emotion. Her songs have received airplay on hundreds of country and Americana radio stations internationally and gained impressive chart positions both in the U.S. and in Europe, including a number two slot behind Chris Stapleton for her single Blossom in the Dust. That's pretty high cotton there. Chantel's music has also been featured in television shows, news programs, and more than a dozen feature films. I'm going to talk about films as well as a songwriter. Her music has been praised by notable media, including No Depression magazine, which is a roots and music culture magazine, who said, Chantel Ogden demonstrates that while she may obsess over what's country, Americana, etc. All that matters is the song. She blends the genres into an authentic, original sound around which she mixes her stories that are accessible to all. It really is all about the story, isn't it, Chantel?
It is, and as a very prestigious award-winning poet, Tom, you're not just a poet. you definitely understand how important the stories are.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, when I knew you in Portland many, many years ago, songwriting didn't come up, script writing didn't come up. I had no idea. Were you writing then or performing then? And if not, when did you realize that you were or wanted to be a performer, songwriter, or both?
So I was writing then, and I would say like very, very early songs and not sharing them with anyone. I was kind of like a closeted songwriter, you could say then. Wasn't playing them for anyone, wasn't playing out, wasn't even sure that I was a good enough singer to actually sing for people. In fact, when I moved to Atlanta, I was so unsure about my voice that I actually went, I was taking some guitar lessons at a store in Atlanta, an instrument store, and I had a vocal coach there. And I thought, I'm going to just go have a lesson with this lady, and I'm going to just play and sing for her and ask her what she thinks of my voice. And okay. So I went in and I just said, I've been writing songs for a while, and I think I might want to start playing out, but I just don't know if I sing well enough to do this. And I want you to give me an honest opinion. And I should have written down her name, because she was so kind, and she said, yeah, I think you need to, and you have a good voice. And she was really supportive. And I think, man, what if she had said I was terrible, right? Would that have, I don't know if it would have been enough to dissuade me from writing, because I already love writing. And I was already committed to writing and becoming a better songwriter, but I think it definitely would have impacted my, I guess just courage really to go out and perform for people.
All right. Well, I think it's time for, we should let our listeners and our viewers get a little sample of your voice and your writing. And so in LA now, Sam has queued up a sample of Ghosts in the Field. Let's hear that, Sam.
Warm wind sounds like laughter rushing through the corn. I'm tracing my old footsteps behind the barn. Me and my friends spent forever hiding out in haystack forts. I can hear those summers echo. That's what I come home for. Sometimes this world gets me spinning round. I come back here so I can slow it down. Some roots run deep, even ones that you can't see. But to me, nothing seems more real than ghosts in the field.
That's really, really nice. So that does speak to your farm cowgirl roots, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the idea for that song actually was given to me by my dad, because we were in the process of tearing down our old milk barn. And we had sold the cows and kind of getting out of the dairy business. And I said to my dad, after they were tearing down the milk barn, what is it? What is it like down there? And he said, well, there's a lot of ghosts. And so I filed that away, as writers do. As we hear things and we kind of put those in the back of our minds. And then a couple of years later, I was driving cross country with a friend of mine who I write with a lot. And we were looking out at the wheat fields of Kansas, and we were talking about this. And I said, you know, it's like there's ghosts in the field. And that was kind of the beginning of that song. And we wrote it sitting on my parents' back porch and looking out over the field and down into that barn. And the first time I played it actually was at a family reunion. And I'll never forget, it's one of the few times that I've seen several grown men in my family cry, because it just meant so much to them. And as the song goes on, you know, it talks about the generations, and that's, you know, that's roots for a lot of people. And, you know, I think there's those places that we go back to over and over again to feel home.
Yeah. So you wrote that whole co-write in one session with somebody else, or does it, or, and is that typical, or do sometimes your works take days, weeks, months, years?
So what I will say about Nashville in general is that we tend to write very fast here. And sometimes maybe to the detriment of the song, but we sit down and in a writing session, we go from, you know, pretty much blank page to finished song within 2 to 3 hours. And that's pretty normal for Nashville. And that's kind of how I write and co-write. Now, there's also times when we get started on something and then we let it sit for a while, maybe we come back to it, or I'll start on some ideas and then I'll bring it into a session. When I first started as a writer, I did a lot more writing by myself than I do now. And that was because I was processing things and I was finding my voice as a writer. And I think, you know, some of my early albums were just, it was all the songs were written, every word, every line by me. And it's interesting because I'm kind of taking that same journey as a screenwriter now too. I'm the first couple of movies I'm writing by myself, you know, and we'll see if that evolves or if I keep just telling those stories by myself. But, you know, it's very common to have screenplays written by multiple people as well.
Sure. Sure. So you, I know the answer to this question only because you just sort of answered it when I was going to ask you if you show work in progress to people. I mean, if you're co-writing in those Nashville sessions and they're, you've got something in 2 or 3 hours, that sort of answers my question. I want to talk more about screenwriting later, but I was sort of curious to know whether work in progress gets shared with people or you sort of wait until you feel like it's done.
When I was early in my career, and when I was early to songwriting, I was very interested in getting feedback. So I would take a song that was just, they were always finished, but I wanted to see how they would go, right.
across
the people. And, you know, I think as you become a better songwriter, you kind of know when it's done and you kind of know when it's good, and you don't need to have sort of that feedback as much anymore. Now, that doesn't mean you don't play your songs for people and get feedback. I played a song today to a publisher, and they just said, you know, it's not for us, you know? So they don't always, they'll say it's not hitting me, you know, and that's kind of it. Because they can't really get into like, well, the song's not written well, or, you know, it, at a certain point, it's kind of like either they like it or they don't. But I think that's part of, you know, there's a kind of a gut instinct that you develop as a writer, and you probably know this too. It's, you get a sense of when it's done and when it's finished, right? And when you're ready to say, that's it, right? That's it. And if something keeps bugging you about it, it means that something needs to be rewritten or fixed. And I do an awful lot of, like, I'll write a song with somebody in, you know, in a session, and then maybe like let it sit for a week or two. And then I'll go back and look at it and go, okay, is there anything I feel like you can really do?
All right. Well, speaking of advice for writers, I want to break here for a little commercial announcement and share this. If you are a writer, if you're listening to this, watching this, and you are a writer, Rendezvous with a Writer sponsors Blue Cottage Agency. Clicks by Madison are standing by to assist you. And here's a special offer created just for you. Listen to this, and then we'll be right back.
Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
All right. So we're talking about writing with Chantel Ogden, who's a very successful Nashville-based songwriter, singer-songwriter, and also we're going to talk about script writing in a little bit. I know that you have been quite successful in getting your music placed and placing other people's music in various productions. Talk about that a little bit. How would someone go about getting music placed? What's the terminology? Sync, I think, is, you know, synced music. I see that in my ASCAP stuff every once in a while. Yeah. So anyway, talk about that a little bit and some of the things that you've accomplished in that world as a writer.
So it's a great question to talk about sort of why it's something to think about if you are a songwriter. When I moved to Nashville in 2005, I realized fairly quickly that writing for other artists or writing with artists was only going to get me so far. And I wanted to find more opportunities for my songs to be heard. And so I started in, I would say, probably about 2006 or seven, networking in the film and TV space. And I would go to film festivals and talk to filmmakers. And eventually one of them gave me the opportunity to submit a song for a film that they were doing. And from that sort of came additional opportunities that I was able to get my songs into film. And then I got a few placements, probably around 2010. And then I started to ask these filmmakers, well, here's a song for your film, but is there anything else you need? And they would say, well, you know, we need a song for this dance club scene, or we need a song for this, you know, car chase scene or whatever. And that kind of parlayed into me reaching out to my network here in Nashville to find those types of songs and license them to films on behalf of other songwriters. And so I kind of grew into that, I guess you could say. And now I do, through a company I have called SoSync, which is SoSync.com, SoSync.com. That's where I do my music licensing, but then I also do what's called music supervision, which is working directly with a filmmaker to find and more have an influence over the sonic branding of a film. So like I'll talk with the filmmaker about the story and we'll talk about musical styles. And then I'll look at different scenes and I'll pick different songs to share with them. And it's not just find me a Christmas song or find me a ballad about, you know, cowboys. It's more like I'm consulting on what I think would be a good song for that type of movie and that scene. And that's the music supervision piece. But, you know, there's a lot of, you can do what I did, which is just start building the relationships on your own. You can reach out to music libraries for getting your songs in music libraries. Or you can, if you want, if people want that are writers that are listening to this program, they can go to my Facebook group, which is called So Sync Pitches for Artists. And if you join the group and answer all the questions, then when I have open pitches, so when I'm looking for different types of songs, I will post a graphic there that says, I need this type of song by this date, you know, it's for this kind of movie, and I'll share all the details I have. And then if people send me those types of songs and they work for the film, I'll license them and then I'll pitch them for that opportunity and hopefully get a songwriter or an artist placement in that film.
Yeah, nice. I know your song, She Loves Horses, I don't know if it's been on TV or film, but I know that it's been used by a whole bunch of people for personal videos and TikTok and whatever. I think Sam, if you're I'm sure you're listening, Sam in LA, why don't you play a little sample of She Loves Horses and then we'll come back and talk more.
She likes movies where they don't kiss till the end and letting her hair fly free in the wind, sleeping under the stars every now and then. She loves a big sky sunrise over the ridge, the sound of her name on a cowboy's lips, the smell of sage after the rain is up there on her list. But she loves horses more than anything, makes her fly without wings. They're sure and steady, even on rocky ground, won't let you down. Or this crazy world turns her around, the more she loves horses.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And you might imagine, well, you know my history, and you know by looking over my shoulder, what other shoulder?
Yeah.
Tasha, great horse that we had. Horses are pretty special and great subject matter, but you turn that into a beautiful piece that a lot of people are using. So are you, when people are using that, do they contact you and say, hey, can I use it? Or you just get surprised when you see it being used all over the place?
So what, kind of an interesting story with this one. I haven't had a song that's kind of gone viral, I guess you could say, but what tipped me off to it was I started getting, money on my ASCAP and or actually CSAC royalty statements, and it was kind of a lot higher than most of the other songs that I have. And then my distributors reached out to me and said, well, you know, people are starting to use this in some videos, you really, you know, he told me a couple more things I needed to do to promote it. And it's just kind of one of those songs that I think, because so many people love horses, just kind of took on a life of its own, and people have used it in different videos that they've made. And that's wonderful. You know, that's what you want as a songwriter, is to connect heart to heart with another human that's on the planet. And that's really what is, a gift back to a songwriter, is to know that someone enjoys your song and they relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that it's showing up in your CSAC royalties means that they went through proper channels to make all that happen. as opposed to just pirating the music. That probably happens too. That's not as pleasant for a creator to have somebody else using that, but that happens too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. And it's what it is it's really that you release your music, and then as people are making videos, they can select music that they want behind it through the apps, like through TikTok and through Instagram. And that's because my music's on those platforms, then they just select the music from there, and then it gets credited back to
you. Ties you into the...
Yeah, it gets credited
sure,
back.
For sure. I want to go back real quick to the writing process for you. You talked about Nashville sessions. You get assigned, or you arrange them, or somebody says, meet so-and-so at some such and such and write a song about whatever you want, whatever. Is that kind of how that happens? Or I'm curious about the writing process in terms of, like, finding out from writers, do you have a process? Do you write at the same time of day? Do you like to write with a pen and pencil? Do you a pad and pen? Do you like to write with a computer? What's your process of creating, Chantel?
So I think it's different for every songwriter. And sometimes it's the lyrics that come first. Sometimes it's the music that come first. I always at least like to have a title to write to. Usually these days when I write, I just pull up and I'm writing with other people. Is we use a Google Doc. So it's live there for us both to work on in the room. And that's particularly helpful if you're writing with someone remotely. I had a co-write session on Monday of this week with some writers that were out west. And so we had a Google Doc and they were on video and I was on video. And I would rather write with someone in the room, but that's not always possible. And you can get a great song all kinds of different ways. I think for me, you know, I think it's about setting aside the time to do it and just honoring that time. A lot of songwriters in Nashville do sessions at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock, right? So they write from like 10 to 1, have an hour break for lunch, and then they write 2 to 5. And that's, they have sessions at sort of like 10 and 2. The publishers kind of set those up for songwriters. Because I'm an independent, for me, it's just about who do I really want to write with? Who do I know that I get good songs with? What opportunities do I have? So for example, again, this Monday, I know that one of my film clients is going to be finishing a film, and I kind of know what it's about. And so we were working on Monday for a potential song that could be a good fit for that film. So it's almost kind of like a writing assignment in a way, not that the filmmaker's telling me I need this song, but I know it's coming. And because I do a lot of work with them, it's likely that I'll get the opportunity to pitch songs, and I know what the movie's about. So we can write a song that's a theme, at least, that will fit into the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to step away just for a moment to tell you, our listeners, our viewers, about one of the places you can order the books of many of the show's author guests. You can find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we'll listen to another of Chantel's songs. This one you're going to hear is called Breaking Something Wild. And after that, after the message and then the song, we're going to be right back with Chantel Ogden.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
He's out in that round pen when the sun comes up. Puts fire in his blood when that colt kicks up dust. He lets it run a while, breaking something wild. She's free as a bird on a big sky breeze. She turned his head with that heart on her sleeve. He's got a rope in that smile, yeah, breaking something wild. Cowgirl tornado's got dust on her halo, and the just dare me dreams of a child. That innocent thunder, you can't take it from her, breaking something wild. Ooh, breaking something wild. First she pulled away, but took it slow. With a gentle hand, he kept pulling her close. A kiss, a dance at a time, breaking something wild.
Beautiful. You know, you paint a picture with your words, Chantel. You ought to be a songwriter.
I mean,
beautiful.
Thank you. It's I mean, I think I always loved, I mean, I was the kid that, you know, drove around and, you know, as I got older, drove around and like listened to the same songs over and over again. I was the kid with, you know, a cassette tape waiting for my favorite song on the radio so I could record it because I didn't have money to go out and buy every song that I loved. And I think, you know, what's beautiful about songs is that it's somebody is telling us how we feel. And sometimes that is what we need, right? And I think that's what hopefully great songs do, and songs that all of us write and poems that all of us write, they help make sense of the world. And I think that that's the beauty of it, right? You see yourself in a song or you see yourself in a poem.
What's the most difficult part of writing in your experience?
I think it's, for me, the challenge is the right unique title and concept idea. You know, there's been so many great songs written, and every single day on Music Row, hundreds of songs are being churned out every week. And it's getting something that's a little different, that is something that hasn't been said exactly the same way before. It's all been written before. I mean, we know most songs are about love or used to love or don't love or I hate you or I wish you loved me. I mean, there's only so many topics, but to find a little different slant on it, that's really the challenge. And once you do that, then you just have to find a way to honor that and find the right story or the right emotional words or analogies to package that idea. And if you find a good idea, then that to me is the biggest challenge, is just finding the right kind of hook, the right title.
Okay. All right. So then I'll ask you, if that's the most important, what other suggestions or tips that you might have for writers in general or songwriters in particular? And we're still going to get to script writing here in a minute, but you can apply that question to any or all of the above.
So I was told by a songwriting professor of mine when I was at Berkeley that the only thing that you have that's different as a writer than any other writer is the way you see the world and your own life experiences. And so I am not a big party person, right? Like I'm not a big drinker and a big, you know, tailgate party person. So I don't write those kinds of songs, right? If I'm with an artist and they want to write that kind of song, I just say, well, I mean, that's really not something that's authentic to me. And I'm not going to be that person that's going to be able to write one of those songs. But if you want to write a song about horses or, you know, any other number of topics, right? I think that it's finding your own, knowing who you are, knowing how you process the world. That is really what makes you a writer, is having a unique viewpoint and having and learning the skills that you need to share how you see the world. That's yeah. really what it is to be a writer. It's seeing the world and then being able to process that and share it back, right? And that's what makes a writer, I think. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, yeah. as a poet.
That's a good question. Well, I think you've touched on something that I'm always reminded is write what you know. And you talked about, you know, you don't know about tailgate parties as much as you know about other things, right? And so you don't, yeah, I think writers get in trouble if they write about things that they don't know. It doesn't mean, I mean, you could write about World War II, doesn't mean you were there, but if you researched it and you really got into it, you could know a lot about a subject and write about it. But I think sometimes writers make a mistake, particularly if you write a novel about a subject, you're probably going to be pretty studied on it. If I'm trying to write a 2-minute poem about something and I don't know what I'm really writing about, it's going to be pretty obvious that I'm using the wrong vernacular, mm-hmm. you know, talking about a male gelding or something, and people go, wait a minute, that's it doesn't work that way. So I want to hear another song. I want to hear, and Sam's ready to play a very cool song called Feels Good to Get It Right. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about screenwriting and some other stuff before we run out of time. So here's Feels Good to Get It Right.
I woke up smiling, and that's something new. Got me believing what I already knew. It's like a real love song with the two of us. Never been here before, but I can't get enough. Like a five-piece band and a honky-tonk Friday night. To get it right.
Yeah, very nice. Hey, speaking of getting things right, I just realized when we were listening to that song, I might have just misspoke. When I used that silly analogy about writing what you know, and I said, if you're writing, I think I said mistakenly, if you were writing about a male gelding and that doesn't work, well, that does work. What I meant, of course, female gelding. That doesn't work. So correct that if I misspoke the way I think I spoke, right? So that that song is in a movie or going to be in a movie. Talk about that and just talk about how you got into screenwriting and about the project that you completed around Christmas time mm-hmm. and anything else that's going on in that world.
Yeah, so that last song actually is going to be in a movie that will come out hopefully later this year. And it's a fun movie. It's called Buster Brooks, and it's a story about following your dreams. And it, I don't want to give too much away, but it's about a young man who wants to be an actor like John Wayne. And so he goes to the big city from the farm and learns a lot about himself in the process. And that song is actually one of the end scenes of the movie, when everything kind of falls into place. And I wrote that song again with my good friend Bill DiLuigi, and we wrote it also with another writer named Anna Kalin. And you know, I think songs find a home, and that's one that I released as an artist a few years ago, but then it was a really good fit for this movie as well. So sometimes you get kind of what we call a twofer, which is a song that you wrote as an artist that also works for a film. But a lot of times the film songwriting is more, it's less about storytelling and more about emotions because the story's on the screen. So, but you know, the screenwriting thing, you know, I mentioned that I have been doing music supervision and getting songs in movies since maybe around 2011. And a few years ago, I think it's been about 3 years ago now, I was at a film festival and I was talking about the importance of songs in films. And I was on this panel with other music people. And I've done a lot of kind of family-friendly type movies. And I thought, you know, I think I could write one of these stories. I think I could write something like this. And so I sat on that idea for a while until the summer of 2024. And I thought, that's it. I'm going to do this. This is the time. And I thought again, like you said earlier, write what you know. So I wanted to write a story about a songwriter in Nashville. And I wanted to write a holiday movie. So I wrote this script and I called the film Music City Mistletoe. And it's about a songwriter who's struggling and she's trying to hold on to her publishing deal and things are not going the way she wants it to. And she's faced a lot of rejection. And it's about, again, just kind of following your dreams and hanging on through the really hard times. And hopefully, you know, you get the happy ending, like the end of the movie.
Okay. Is that a movie people can see online? Can they stream at some place? Where would they find it?
So I'll fast forward through the process, but I finished the script in 2024 in the fall, got the funding to make the movie. So it was greenlit. It's what they call greenlit. And so then we shot the movie in March of 2005 here in Nashville, finished the shoot, did the post-production. And then it was my job to then go out and sell the film. And so I worked with a distributor that kind of focuses in family-friendly content. They were able to release it at Christmas time. It's on Apple TV. It's on Amazon. It's on Fandango at Home. It's on Up Faith and Family, and it's on, I think, am I covering all of them? Google Play as well. Now, later this summer, it will come out on additional platforms. So if you're interested in watching it, you can watch it now on any of those platforms, because I think a lot of people watch Christmas movies year round. I know I do. And there's also going to be some additional places you can see it later on this year.
Okay. And that's Music City Mistletoe.
Yep. Music City Mistletoe.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. You're performing here and there on occasion as well?
I do. Yeah. So I play some songwriters rounds here in Nashville, and you know, I'll travel some throughout the year and do shows here and there. Right now, I'm actually working on my second film, which is actually a totally different film. It's about a coming of age action movie about a race car driver. And it's interesting because we were talking about writing what you know. I'm not a race car driver. However, I did go to some races and talk to my friends who are into race car driving. And the story is much bigger than just about a race car. It's about someone who's discovering what their passion is and then, you know, struggling with multiple setbacks, both at home, at school, on the track, facing a lot of sort of dream crushing things to pursue this newfound passion of theirs of racing cars. And it's kind of like Karate Kid, but with race cars. So there's a mentor that's really important to the story. And I'm in the process of getting some wonderful actors attached, and I'll be really excited when we can finish getting the funding for that and then moving into production. So yeah. That's a song, or that's a story that I think we can all relate to. You know, I've never been a competitive race car driver, but I was a competitive high school rodeo and cow cutting rider back in the day. And I know how hard it is to compete and how many things can work against you. And, you know, it's just it's a story that, again, is very, very relatable.
Yeah. Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations on that we can look forward to on the horizon. Yeah. I'm going to start wrapping up. We're going to run out of time here in a minute. I want to say it's been delightful to sit and chat with you. And, you know, the thunderstorms that we talked about that are in your area at the beginning of the show allowed us to get this whole thing done. And unless we get your voice has been crystal clear the whole time. There's been a momentary little hiccup on your audio. You froze for a half a second here and there, but the voice has been great. It's been really delightful. And when we get done with this, then your power can go out and I won't care. But now it's been great. So people can find you. You're the movie we just talked about on all those platforms. Movie, if they Google up Music City Mistletoe. If folks want to see your website, they would go to your name. You have your first name on the screen. Ogden is spelled just like the city in Utah, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Traditional yep. Chantel Ogden. You can find her online, and you can see her. Albums that are available and perhaps where she might be performing at some point. So I want to thank you very much, Chantel, for sharing your thoughts with us and giving us the time. Looking forward to seeing you in person again one of these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to thank Sam Hassan, the owner and engineer of LA Talk Radio, who's been kind enough to be listening in and queuing up those songs when I ask for them. Thank you, Sam, for doing that. Again, thank you, Chantel. And just another acknowledgement to Alex Dormond and the Hot Texas Swing Band for providing the opening and closing music. You're going to hear a little taste of that here in a minute. Again, my name is Tom Swearingen. I'm a cowboy poet in Oregon. If you don't know how to spell my name, you don't have to. You can just Google Oregon Cowboy Poet, and I will be. You'll find me pretty easy, and be nice to have you visit my site if you're interested in what I'm up to. Next week's rendezvous with a writer guest, and Bobby Jean and Jim will be back, I'm sure, with great memories from their time in L.A. at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. Next week, it'll be author Ron Elcombe, who joins Jim and Bobby. They'll be talking about his new novel, The Legacy of a Lie. That sounds mysterious, doesn't it? The Legacy of a Lie. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Chantel and I'll wave to each other and to you, and we'll see you later down the road. Thanks.
Y'all. Yeah.